Hello, and today we are beginning a new series on the Holy Spirit, a series that will run right the way through to the second Sunday of September. It's great to welcome Nathan Richards from Connect at Copper Beach to the preaching team for this series. I'm really looking forward to the different passages that I'm going to look at. And I'm also looking forward to hearing what other people are going to bring when they speak. A really good book to read alongside this series is a book by Francis Chan, Forgotten God, where he talks about the need to reverse what he calls our tragic neglect of the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to begin, as I said, and to look at John 3 together. And before we plunge into the heart of the passage, I want you to notice something about Nicodemus. The very first verse of our reading, he came to Jesus at night. We're not told why that is, but it is a reasonable guess that he was perhaps a bit embarrassed. His reputation was on the line. Jesus was seen to be a challenging figure. Would it be right for Nicodemus to come and speak to him by day? What would people think? Maybe he was nervous about approaching Jesus, so he came at night. It may be that you're engaging with this and you're one of a number of people who've been engaging with our church services online. And as a church, we don't really know who you are. May even be that you're from a city or a place other than Leeds. And during COVID-19 and during lockdown, you've wanted to check out a church service. Maybe you are returning to faith after some time away, but you've not wanted to be public about it. You're searching for something, or you're looking to reconnect with something. But in a sense, you've done it by night. You've done it incognito. You've done it undercover. I want you to notice how Jesus deals with this inquirer who's come at night. Doesn't send him away, doesn't belittle him in any way, but gives time, gives proper answers to questions, shows his love to this guy. There's a real challenge as Jesus gets to the heart of the matter for Nicodemus. But there is love, there is grace, there is mercy, and there is a real heart-to-heart engagement. And it's exactly the same for you. It's okay to come at night and to check these things out. We really hope and pray that you want to take it further and you get in touch with us directly or come and see us when we are physically open once again. We encourage you to check us out or check out a different church in the area where you live. But for the moment, it's okay to be here. It's okay to come at night. Jesus affirms you and reaches out to you and wants to engage with you. So what does Jesus say to this guy who comes at night? The heart of the matter is in verse 3, where Jesus says this. Let's hear it again. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. I wonder what comes into your mind when you hear the phrase born again. Maybe a permatanned TV evangelist with a dodgy smile and even more dodgy finances. A smooth-talking salesman who is peddling a product and is doing so for profit. That's an image that can easily be with us. But if that's the case, it is a great shame, because what Jesus is talking about here is something incredibly wonderful and incredibly foundational for the Christian faith. The translation of the Greek word, which is rendered in our Bibles again, might actually be from above. The word could mean either things, born again or born from above. And probably both meanings are in view here. What is being spoken of is God coming by the power of the Holy Spirit and doing something absolutely wonderful within us, something that is purely supernatural from first to last, in response to the death of Jesus, in response to his sacrifice for us. Those who reach out to him receive this new birth. They are born again. They are born from above. Just a few things that this confers on us, this wonderful new birth. Firstly, we are part of a new family. When we are born into a family. And already in John chapter 1, the writer has spoken about how through Jesus we are able to be children of God, part of his family. And when we come to Jesus, when we are born anew, we become part of this extraordinary global family with local expressions called churches dotted around the world. We are part of a family. And this family, the head of this family, there is no manipulation. There is only love and grace and acceptance and the possibility for change. So we become part of a new and a wonderful family. We also are cleansed. We're made clean as we come to God in this way and as he works in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Read in the Bible, born of water and the Spirit. What does it mean to be born of water? Well, various suggestions have been put forward, and yet the most natural way to read this is to think about the Old Testament, because as we look at this passage, we see that Jesus gently chides Nicodemus because he hasn't understood what Jesus is saying. Who is Nicodemus? Well, he is an Israelite teacher. He is steeped in the Old Testament. And so Jesus is astonished that Nicodemus doesn't understand this foundational point. And so we need to think, well, why is Jesus astonished? Why is he so surprised? Is it not because Nicodemus has failed to understand something crucial about the Old Testament? Passage that Jesus might well have been thinking about is in Ezekiel chapter 36 and beginning at verse 24. I'm just going to read this to you from the Bible. God is speaking and he says this: I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Many commentators recognize that this is a passage that is so crucial to our understanding of what is going on in John 3. And we see at the head of those verses the water, and we see at the end Spirit, but actually it is all the work of the Holy Spirit. And we see that that beginning work is making us clean. if someone has been for a run, or they've been doing some gardening, or they've been doing some heavy manual work, they get dirty and they get dusty and they long to be clean. So they come home, they have a shower, they have a bath, and it's a great feeling. I'm clean again. What God gives us here is a cleansing on the inside. All our rebellion against God, all our failure, all the things that we've got wrong, the failure to live our lives as God intended, all of that is wiped away. And as the Holy Spirit comes to us, as we're born anew, born from above, we are made clean. And thirdly, there is a change. So family, cleansing, and a change. God the Holy Spirit renews. Again, we see that in the Ezekiel passage. A heart of stone removed, it's powerful imagery. And a beating, living heart of flesh, one that gives new impulses, new desires, new power to follow God's way, born of water and of the Spirit. And the word for Spirit in both Greek and Hebrew is the same as the word for wind. And God talks about this mighty rushing wind, the power of the Holy Spirit, how it is different for people who have experienced this new birth. There is a new power, there is a new impulse, there is a new way of living, and people looking in from the outside can't quite understand it, because here is someone, here are people who have something different, because, well, what is it? We can't quite work it out, but the secret is here in this passage: born anew, born from above, born again, born of the Holy Spirit. How do we receive this? There's stuff here that God does, and we see that. This is God from first to last. God the Holy Spirit is working, and we don't choose to be born, so this may seem incredibly attractive, but how do we receive it? Verse 14 of our reading shows us the way. Again, there is a link back to the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 21, when the people were bitten by snakes, they needed healing. A snake was put on a pole, a bronze snake. They looked at it and they were healed. And what we read here in John's Gospel is that Jesus is going to be like that. He is going to be lifted up, not on a pole, but on a cross. And those who believe in him, those who turn their lives over to him, will receive salvation, will receive this new birth. So God promises the new birth, and we receive it because of the death of Jesus and as we reach out to him in faith. How are we going to apply this to our lives today? I just want to say three things, two for insiders and one for someone who might be and considering themselves an outsider. First of all, the 2 points for insiders, for those who are committed to the Christian faith. The first thing is not to neglect the Old Testament. We've referred today, as we have looked at this glorious New Testament passage, to Ezekiel 36 and to Numbers 21. Could also have referred to Ezekiel 37, where a valley of dry bones comes alive, and again it's the wind, the breath, the Spirit of God, helps us to understand John chapter 3, helps to illuminate the New Testament. As a church, we hold that the whole of the Bible, the New Testament and the Old, are the Word of God to us today. Maybe we are only half the Christians we could be because we only have half a Bible. The Old Testament is God's word to us. It speaks to us. It illuminates the New Testament, but it's also God's word in and of itself. I want to encourage you in your reading, in your study, in your reflection, not to neglect the Old Testament. That's the first application. And the second thing is to reflect on this picture of someone who has been born anew and the fact that there is something mysterious about them, the mighty rushing wind. Nobody knows where it comes from or where it's going. No one can control the direction. There's something different. There's something mysterious. Do people think that about me? Do people think that about you? Do people recognize that there is an undefinable something? I won't be able to tell exactly what it is, but there is that something because you've been born anew, born from above. You've received a cleansing. You've received a new heart, new impulses, new desires, a new way of living, and new power to actually live that out. Do people see that? I guess it's a variation of the old question. If someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Okay, if someone were to accuse you of being a Christian in your workplace, in your family, amongst your friends, amongst the neighbourhood, if someone were to say, that person, they're one of those Christians, is there enough evidence in your life to convict you? There should be, because God has placed his Holy Spirit within us and he has given us this new beating heart. We're part of his family. We're born anew, and that should lead to change. In your workplace, in your family, in your neighbourhood, amongst your friends, how is God working through you? How are you different? Not because you're behaving in some sort of an odd way, but how are you different in a way that is shaped by the indwelling Spirit of God so that people see and start to ask questions about your faith? So don't neglect the Old Testament. How different are we as we go about the work that God has given us to do? And finally, for those who have come to Jesus at night, for those who are just checking this out, or maybe you are part of a church congregation, maybe even part of Cornerstone, and it's like you're hidden in plain sight. You enjoy the services, or maybe you don't enjoy them very much, and you're just dragged along when there is a physical service. Maybe you have been into religion, but you've never had the reality in your life. Whatever it is, this could be a hugely exciting day for you, because on offer from God by the power of the Holy Spirit is the new birth, is the reality of the Holy Spirit dwelling within, making you truly a part of God's family, making you clean and giving you these new desires and this new power to live for him. Don't be content with religion. Don't stop until you have the reality. How do you get that reality? It is by faith in Jesus. It is by looking to the cross and turning your life over to him. A preacher of old had as his regular message, "You must be born again." And he went round to different places and he always seemed to preach the same thing. Eventually, some of his listeners who had heard him more than once said, "Why do you always say you must be born again?" And the speaker turned to them and said, "Because you must be born again." It is absolutely essential. It is absolutely indispensable. We don't get off first base in Christian living without this experience. Today, you can become part of the family. Today, you can be made clean. Today, you can have a fresh power for daily living as you look to Jesus, as you come to him in faith and receive the new birth.